This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. The Birmingham City Council and the state legislature in a showdown over the minimum wage. The Birmingham City Council passed an ordinance on Tuesday to raise the city's minimum wage to $10.10 an hour and make it effective Wednesday. It was an attempt to get ahead of a bill in the legislature which would prevent local governments from setting their own minimum wages. That bill was passed the House and is being considered by the Senate today. We talk about the situation with Alabama Media Group columnist John Archibald. He joins us now as he does most Thursdays. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Andrew.
Now, Republican Representative David Faulkner of Mountain Brook, he sponsored the bill. He calls the city council's actions political grandstanding. Council President Jonathan Austin says he's sticking up for low-wage workers. How do you see this whole back and forth?
Well, there is a lot of political theater. Don't forget, I believe in my heart truly that the Birmingham City Council originally passed this measure without following, without studying the issue as advised by their own lawyers as a way to sort of deflect from their own huge pay raise. Now, enter the legislature from the richest district in Alabama to file this measure, and only the Alabama legislature can now somehow make the Birmingham City Council look good, like martyrs. And so we have all that swirling around the issues.
One criticism that's been leveled at these largely Republican state lawmakers who are pushing this bill is that they're hypocrites, that Republicans often lash out at the federal government for interfering in state policy. Here you have people at the state level interfering with a local decision. But there are those that believe that certain policies should just be at the state level, not federal, not local level. Is that hypocrisy criticism fair?
Well, I mean, it's fair in some ways. I mean, a lot of these people, the same people that say the best government is local. You cannot say that anymore. Of course, you could say in Alabama the best government is an oxymoron. But honestly, if you look at the state as a whole, I mean, traditionally the state has held all the power and dished it out when it felt like it to the municipalities. So in that sense, it's not that hypocritical. But that doesn't mean it's right.
It's the way things have typically been done.
It's the way they've been since the 1901 Constitution, for sure.
Well, this political clash has attracted some national attention. There was a story about it in the New York Times over the weekend. Yesterday on NPR, we heard from Labor Secretary Tom Perez. He spoke favorably of what Birmingham was doing. If we're thinking about this wider audience, how do you see this reflecting on Alabama?
The Alabama legislature is never thinking about the wider audience, and that's part of the problem. This is sure to blow up nationally. It's sure to make Birmingham look good and reinforce their decision to do what they did, regardless of what reasons they might have had in the beginning, which is not exactly, I think, what the legislature set out to do, although it will please the business council and those people who have pushed to limit this.
This is an issue that has very firm views on both sides. It perhaps is not the same as, say, the immigration issue or closing the driver's license offices in Alabama that seem to play out a little differently.
Right. It's purely about money, I think, primarily, for those who are backing this effort.
Yeah. Have we gotten to the point where the merits or the economics of this minimum wage discussion simply doesn't matter? It's all about image. It's all about grandstanding. It's all about politics.
Oh, on both sides. And that's where we do continue to drive that wedge. It's not the same as those issues you talked about, but it still has a way of dividing people, and that's along those same lines. And we end up more divided than we began.
Well, also this morning, last week, Alabama said goodbye to perhaps its most beloved literary figure, To Kill a Mockingbird author Harper Lee died at age 89. And John, you wrote that you will miss her voice. She was known as having a very private life, so I assume you mean her writing, her written voice. But what is it that you'll miss?
It is her writing. You know, she has a way of pointing out things we need to hear while still showing obvious love for the state. And that's a hard voice to have sometimes, and it's one that has great value here and beyond.
Well, To Kill a Mockingbird is one of the great novels of the 20th century, so her death was marked by people around the world. But is there something different about what she means to the state of Alabama? Is an Alabama remembrance different in some way?
Well, I mean, she is ours. That's the main thing. And there's that thing I was talking about before. It's that love. I mean, you know, she's sitting there telling us things that at the time people did not want to hear, yet she did it in a way that just showed she was one of us. And that's important to Alabamians.
Yeah, well, in the discussions following Lee's death, I heard a commentator suggest that To Kill a Mockingbird is endured partly because it's the tale of a white man defending a black man against a racist society, and that's a view that's acceptable to a mainstream white culture. That tales of, say, blacks themselves fighting depression don't find the same traction. I mean, how does that notion strike you, that perhaps this is something that's beloved but only by a part of the public?
Well, I think that's probably true. But let's face it, she wrote the book in 1961, was it? And I think the audience that needed to read it was the audience that you said might take to it. And I think they needed to hear it. I think the world needed to hear it. And the white world certainly needed to hear it. So it may not be that universal, but it is important.
John Archibald is a columnist for the Alabama Media Group. You can read his column each Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday in the Birmingham News online at any time at al.com. John, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.